Hi, I'm Patrick Finley. It's Jason Leisure. Jason, coming up on Halas Intrigue, we will talk about report day at Halas Hall. Caleb Williams, Ryan Poles, Matt Eberflus, everybody spoke today, and we'll tell you all about it. Coming up on Halas Intrigue. Jason, Caleb Williams has signed his contract and showed up to training camp. As we sit here right now, the veterans are checking in, getting ready for a team meeting in 2 hours. The football season is upon us. That's crazy, isn't it?
Matt Eberflus said today, 50 days from report day till the first game. Does it feel like a lot or a little to you? It felt like little to him.
Yeah.
It's like, oh man, I have way more work to do than that amount of time.
It's 50 days from tomorrow, I think. 50 days from the first practice.
That feels like a long time to me.
Do you know what it feels like? It feels like Major League Baseball spring training.
We're not even in the month before. We're still in July as we do this.
The season opener is 7 weeks from Sunday. That's a long time from now. But
I would imagine to Bears fans, mm-hmm. for the first time in a few years, like those 50 days can't go by fast enough. And those 50 days are super interesting to them and to us,
mm-hmm.
in a way that they haven't been probably since going into the 2019 season, when they were coming off the really good 12-4 year and they were in Bourbonnais and showing up talking right. about going to the Super Bowl that year, and not even just one Super Bowl, but a dynasty.
Right.
But it has that feel to it right now, more so even, just the energy level and the excitement that everybody has to see what Caleb Williams turns out to be and what this team turns out to be.
I was going to say, it's exciting not because there's really a competition to watch in camp. There really isn't. I mean, they built this roster in a way that we know, 21 of the 22 starters? 22 of the 22 starters as we sit here right now.
You probably know close to 50 of the 53.
Which is crazy because 2 years ago when Ryan Poles first got here, I mean, there were probably 28 legitimate NFL players on their team and then everybody else just fighting to hang on. But you know, there are guys on the field that you want to see and that you want to track. It starts obviously with Caleb Williams, the number one pick in the draft, and how he does. You know, he is going to have ups and downs. The good news is there are 7 weeks for him to kind of find his level going into the season. Roma Dunze, the rookie wide receiver and number 9 pick, we're going to be watching him. And then all of these veterans that are new to us. You know, Keenan Allen. We can get to watch how he prepares every day. Gerald Everett, your phone hitting the ground. It's going to be a fun camp for us and for the fans when the fans do get here.
The matchups, the first team versus first team matchups, are great.
Yeah,
I mean, think about the wide receiver group and Cole Kmet against the DBs that they have,
mm-hmm.
and the linebackers.
Yeah.
I mean, they've got everything matches up to be some really interesting battles. You brought up Caleb Williams in this 7-week process. That's really hard to accept for me that it's going to be that many weeks as we start this in what feels like still mid-July to me.
It's the 19th. That's because
is that technically
there's
mid-July?
A reason it feels like mid-July.
Are it's the
mid-July.
Middle 10 days of the 30 or so?
31 days in
but
July.
Is that how it goes? Is it like
in my book, this is mid-July.
Okay. I mean, you're in the teens still.
How about
I
this?
Think it's going to be hard for Bears fans to hear about the inevitable rough day that Caleb Williams has on the practice field. And Pat, 7 weeks, he might have a rough week.
Yeah.
Like, that can happen. And Caleb Williams has just escalated these expectations from the time he got here. Everything he says just further elevates what everyone already is wanting to see. It just elevates the hype. And it's going to be challenging, I think, for Bears fans to get through, okay, he had a bad day today or he had a bad week this week. And he has not asked for patience. But this would be a good time to give him some, I think.
Right.
I think he has the right perspective on... We were talking to him about this today. I think Caleb Williams has the right perspective to be able to handle a rough day or a rough week.
Right.
And that's good because that might be how the season goes. That's how most rookie quarterbacks' mm-hmm. seasons are, where you have to take the perspective of he's going to be their quarterback for at least the next 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
If things go the way he and the team want, he's going to be their quarterback for the next 15 to 20 years.
Right.
This is a small, small piece on that timeline.
It's a really important piece, though, because You know, we can talk about the roster that they've surrounded him with and how it's so much better than whatever Justin Fields got, and it's a lot better than whatever Mitch Trubisky got, but he's still got to get up on his feet on his own. And that is the first step. Before we start buying him a house he's going to live in for the next 15 years, you know, probably up here near Lake Forest, you know, let's make sure that he is the quarterback that they believe him to be. In that sense, you know, kind of the incubation period here in the next 7 weeks are going to be really, really important. But, you know, he's a player who writes his goals down on the lock screen on his phone. Or he types them. He doesn't write because that would ruin the phone. And he doesn't do that because the goals are achievable. He does that because they're not. He does that because striving is what he wants to do. So when he sits there and says, you know that he wants to win multiple Super Bowls, that shouldn't be the expectation for anybody other than Caleb Williams. But I think it is I think it's noble and it's different around these parts, at least, for him to speak openly about what he wants to accomplish and what he wants the team to accomplish.
If you think back to 5 years ago when they came off the really good season in 2018 and then were showing up in Bourbonnais for 2019, and that season opening game against the Packers was like a mini Super Bowl here. If you think back to that, do you think the energy is even higher right now because it's something new at quarterback? And it is a guy that is widely heralded as this can't-miss prospect. You have what you want at quarterback right now. Whereas back then, you know, you had this elite championship defense,
right,
but there were still questions about Mitch Trubisky. Do you think that Caleb Williams, not just his talent, but also this personality is different than probably anyone the Bears have had? The Bears have not had someone with this much personality,
right,
at quarterback probably since Jim McMahon. Well, how do you compare the way things feel around this team right now versus 5 years ago going into the 2019
season? I think it's more exciting now. I think that let's not rule out the fact that the playoff game that they went to in 2018, they lost because, you know, of a lot of things, including a double doinked field goal. There's a lot of angst that then built up during that offseason. You know, the Bears hold this 100th anniversary convention in which it wasn't just their own players saying, I think we can win a Super Bowl. It was all the great former players saying, I think this can win a Super Bowl. And I think that's what got fans. Like, it wasn't, who cares what Matt Nagy said? But, like, when Dan Hampton said something and when Mike Singletary said something, it was almost like Bears fans believed it to be true.
Yeah.
So there was eagerness 5 years ago, but I think there was anxiety as a result of the previous season. I don't think there's anxiety this year at all. You know, Justin Fields isn't here anymore. That was the main point of argument between two pretty well-meaning sides of Bears Nation in the second half of last year. You know, he's not here to remind anybody of that. You know, Matt Eberflus is. There may be some anxiety there from Bears fans, but, you know, he's brought in Shane Waldron, who's a pretty respected offensive coordinator. I think you and I both, if you had told us at the end of the year last year, hey, the Seahawks coordinator is going to come available and he's going to come here, I think we probably would have taken that, right?
I think that coupled with their process was so much better hiring a coordinator this year.
Interviewed 14 people.
And took a lot of time.
Yep.
Instead of, I think, 18 hours or whatever they took when they hired Luke Getsy.
Sure. I think the offseason has been near perfect. And boy, that is weird to say because I think you could look in the last 5 years at this franchise. You can't find a whole lot of things they did well, much less near perfect.
I think what's exciting about this is you feel, if you're a Bears fan, and even as an objective person covering it, you see this as, you cover this as and perceive this as the start of something very long-term. And I don't know that you felt that in 2019.
No.
You felt like, okay, this is kind of the coming together. It's going to be this. This is going to be kind of are they or aren't they for this year. But you feel like this team, they went 7-10 last year.
Right.
They could go 10-7 this year and make the playoffs, and it would feel better maybe than what you experienced in 2018 with them going 12-4 and getting to the playoffs. Because you feel like, man, this that would really be the start of something with a 22-year-old quarterback.
For me, that's what makes the season so compelling is, number one, they can win a good amount of football games without Caleb Williams being a superstar. You know, they can, if he is a B-minus quarterback the first half of the season, they're not going to go 0-8. They're not going to go 2-6. You know, they have enough talent on their team that he can play point guard and get the ball to all these playmakers. The defense can be top, maybe not top five, but maybe top 10. And, you know, there's a formula there that you can win games. And so you've got these kind of parallel tracks of Caleb's development. And while you're at it, you can actually be pretty good. You know, we saw with Mitch Trubisky in that 2019 season that, you know, they needed him to grow, to show some serious growth in order to, you know, keep going the direction they wanted him to go in. And by mid-season of 2019, I think a lot of us were like over Mitch Trubisky. I think a lot of us were convinced he might not be the guy at all, much less the guy on a good team.
I think a lot of people could have seen that in 2018, but didn't want to think that.
Well, sure.
And didn't want that dread of...
But there's a benefit there, too, where if the defense is intercepting the ball and returning six of them for touchdowns and giving them great field position and, you know, they scored a lot. The Bears scored a lot that year. And it wasn't because Mitch Trubisky was amazing, but Mitch Trubisky was the one throwing the pass at the end because of field position and complimentary football and all of those good things.
Yeah.
To me, they've got a pretty good fire burning here now. And boy, if Caleb can get to where they want him to go fast, that has a chance to really be a shot of gasoline on top of it to really explode.
Well said. And that's where I'm at on it too, where I think you could have taken last year's team and basically kept it the same, just done the most conventional, what everybody else would do with your draft picks and free agency, not change quarterbacks even.
Right.
And this would probably be an odds favorite team to be one of the last couple, maybe the sixth or seventh playoff seed.
Right.
So I think swapping in Caleb Williams as a rookie, Caleb Williams' rookie season for what Justin Fields did last year, that you can't, it's going to be at least that.
Right.
This is the baseline for them right now with this roster and with a very talented, albeit a rookie, quarterback, is sixth or seventh seed, 10 or so wins. If he's good quick, if he's C.J. Stroud, for example, which is probably the best rookie season we've ever seen.
Probably an unrealistic expectation.
But if he's that, they're a Super Bowl contender.
Yeah, they could be.
Just like that.
The other thing, too, and
so what? So anywhere in between, Pat.
Yeah.
Like anywhere between typical turbulent roller coaster rookie season and C.J. Stroud, you know, how Caleb Williams goes, the Bears will go somewhere on that spectrum.
Well, let's remember, too, that in the NFL now, almost every quarterback gets hurt and has to miss time. That's just the way life is now. And by putting this supporting cast around Caleb Williams, you also ensure that, you know, if you need Tyson Bagent to start four games the way he did last year, maybe instead of going 2-2, they go 4-0 or 3-1. I mean, there's just so much insurance now where, you know, I feel like last year we were going into the season and going, well, if Justin's good, they'll be good. If Justin's bad, they'll be bad. This year, I think that there's a world, maybe it's the most likely scenario, where at least in the first half of the season, Caleb's okay, but the team does pretty decent.
There's so much that I like in all facets of how this team was brought to this point as far as the process that they took.
Yeah.
And it might not work out, but it's hard to find flaws in their process, in Ryan Poles' process. And you add Caleb Williams at just the right time in your rebuild, and your hiring of Shane Waldron, you know, was a good, sound, logical process. They are launching Caleb Williams with everything right. You could make the one argument that this would have been the right time to change head coaches and bring in a new head coach with the new quarterback. But you're doing the next best thing in that regard by bringing in the new coordinator with the new quarterback instead of retaining Luke Getsy. So you don't keep Justin Fields around as a kind of a problematic, not that Justin Fields himself, the guy, would have been problematic, but it would have created this unnecessary challenge for Caleb Williams, much in the way that they kind of bungled Mitch Trubisky's onboarding and Justin Fields' onboarding before that. You have a fully stacked skill group. There's no qualifiers on that, Pat. Any team in the league practically would like to have this group of wide receivers, tight ends, and running backs.
Maybe it's not offensive line.
It's very, very good. Yeah, exactly. And their offensive line is fine.
It's fine.
It's not the offensive line that Justin Fields got smacked around behind his first couple of years.
Right. Yeah, I mean, their roster is built really well. And their roster is built to win this year. And that is something we haven't been able to say since 2019. And their roster is also built in a way that maybe a year from now, maybe Keenan Allen's not here anymore. As you know, that's my kind of working theory is, maybe he's just a really good 1 year rental.
Which we're both fine with.
Which, yeah,
we that, like. We both like that.
Yeah, if that
totally means, worth the money mean, and the draft pick.
And if that means that Rome Odunze has grown into the second receiver role at this time next year, I mean, you know, this roster can. You know, we're in a window now where, I mean, if Caleb is great, the window can be 15 years, but you know, him notwithstanding, you're in a window of 4 or 5 years now where you've got players in their prime playing for you. And again, we haven't been able to say that since, you know, the middle of 2019.
Yeah, and even then, one of the things that they have going for them right now that that team didn't is they are in really good – they've built all this without sacrificing their future cap space and their future draft picks. Ryan Poles has been at times painfully conservative
right.
in his moves. And it's frustrating because you sit there and you're like, man, this team 2 years ago needs so much help. Right. This team last year needs more help. And there mm-hmm. and there isn't this big splashy free agency
right.
that they're having. But in doing that, in building it conservatively, mm-hmm. prudently in his mind, I would say, Ryan Poles would argue, he wasn't being overly conservative. He now has this roster and all of the assets necessary keep it going for a while with the money and the draft picks. Next year, they've got 3 picks in the first 2 rounds.
Yeah. In 2019, the Bears didn't have a first-round pick. In 2020, the Bears didn't have a first-round pick. I want to say in 2019, the first player they took was David Montgomery.
Yeah, and 73, I think.
Yeah, number 73, which is right around where Amagaji was drafted this year.
Yeah.
For, and we'll get to him in a sec. But you're right. We've got a scenario where they have a chance to be really good, and they haven't squandered their future at all. And yeah. not only do they have their own picks this year, but they have the Panthers' second-round pick, which could be 33rd overall, for all we know. And, you know, we can praise Poles, and we have for the trade with the Panthers, may go down as one of the great trades in the history of the sport. But some of the moves he didn't make, I think, can benefit them to just, like you said, staying patient and keeping his powder dry for the future. I mean, they've got a lot of flexibility to, you know, use those picks, maybe trade those picks. You know, they've got salary cap space as long as Caleb's on his rookie deal, which we'll get to in a minute. You know, there's flexibility for them to do a lot of different things.
Let's talk about his rookie deal now, and then we'll get people caught up on any of the roster news that they need.
Sure.
There was a lot of reports out there.
Yeah.
Neither Ryan Poles nor Caleb Williams wanted to get into any of the reports about that he wanted to be paid in unforgivable loans, that he wanted to be paid as an LLC,
right.
that he wanted a guarantee that the Bears wouldn't be able to use the franchise tag
right.
on him. None of that went through. It's all kind of minor details to me. If anything, it is reflective of a guy who is trying to take an outside-the-box
right.
approach. And why not? Shoot for the moon. Shoot for the most money you could possibly pocket out of right. this rookie deal, which is going to be, you know, tiny
mm-hmm.
compared to whatever he gets on the next deal if he gets to that point. Where, you know, he's talking Jalen Hurts, Joe Burrow, Trevor Lawrence type money at that point, plus whatever
right.
that inflates to
plus
with
inflation,
the,
yeah.
with actual inflation, I mean, and NFL 70, inflation.
We're
of
talking
the,
about $75 million a year probably.
By then,
yeah.
he could be. So,
yeah.
he you know, he'll be okay. The Bears will be okay. I give him credit for being an outside-the-box
mm-hmm.
thinker on this. I will say I could just... Ryan Poles has not indicated anything like this, but I got to imagine it's frustrating.
Sure.
To try to deal with not only all of these pretty foreign mm-hmm. proposals in the contract,
right.
but also the only person that Ryan Poles can talk to is Caleb Williams.
In theory, yes.
If he's following the rules,
right.
which Ryan Poles seems like a stickler for the rules to me.
Sure. And, you know, one of the workarounds is you create an email address that says caleb@gmail.com, and you give your...
That's how you got it going.
Yeah, you give your legal... But, you give your legal guy access to the email, and the legal guy can read
it. It wouldn't be that. It wouldn't be just CalebW@... It'd be something more creative.
Sign my contract at... Yeah.
Bear Claw 2024.
Heisman 2022.
Right.
Caleb.
Caleb Williams, LLC at Gmail.
Here's the thing. There are a lot of people around the NFL who are really invested in the idea that you need an agent. Yeah. I'm just talking about other agents are very invested in the world knowing that it, having an agent's a good idea.
You're talking about a $75 million a year contract in the future, yes, and an agent getting 3% of that.
Yes.
It's a big business.
Yeah. So I think there are people who are really motivated to sit there and say, look, he didn't have an agent, and look at all these silly things he asked for. The point is, he didn't get them. He signed a standard rookie contract. Mm. The Bears knew when they drafted him that he was going to end up signing a standard rookie contract. I don't think it's a giant deal. And I think the people who are pushing it as news are people who very much want the world to think that having an agent is the right way to go in all cases. The Bears, even before the draft, completely understood why he didn't have one, because the money was locked in and there was no behind the scenes anything that an agent could do to move him up in the draft because he was at the very top.
He has taken a very business-minded approach, mm-hmm, to his NFL career, mm-hmm, which every NFL player will say, oh, I treat this like a business. Right. But he's taking lessons learned from a dad who has been a successful businessman and trying to see, okay, how much of this can I apply, mm-hmm, to playing professional football? Going all the way back, Pat, to, you know, him wanting to vet the Bears.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You would, if you were not in the NFL and you were going to be hired by some had a job offer,
right,
from some company, it's not apples to apples, but you'd want to know everything, right, about them. You'd want to know if that's really a good place for me,
right,
or maybe I need to maneuver and find somewhere, right, else to go. And now he's taken that approach to his contract. I don't think it's any problem in terms of, you know, selfishness, no, or disruption to his team or anything like that. I think it's smart, like, thorough, comprehensive approach to it. And I don't, one of the things I don't think about this is that this can now be extrapolated into what their future with him is going to be like.
No, absolutely.
That Caleb Williams asking for some things that were outside the box, mm-hmm, in his rookie deal somehow foreshadows what the negotiations 3 or 4 years from, right, now are going to be like. He's 22.
Right.
He's making his first steps. Him and his team are making their first steps into the world of the NFL. There is going to be so much that transpires before the next time this comes up.
Sure.
He is going to change as a person. He's going to grow as just an individual human being. But he's also going to learn a lot about how the league works, and,
yeah,
through his contract, through friends of his, right, getting contracts or extensions or things like that. He's going to be in a totally different place the next time this theoretically comes up again.
Yeah.
This is not any kind of omen that things are going to be challenging, that he's going to be high maintenance or difficult.
What a great problem to have if 4 years from now they're debating whether they want to give him the most money ever, or the second most amount of money ever, or the third most amount of money ever. Like, that's, I mean, the Bears just getting a quarterback to a second contract would be a freaking miracle around these parts. So let's get to that point and then start worrying about it. If I were Bears fans, I wouldn't. Let's remember, too, that this guy is the first above-board millionaire college football player ever. I mean, this guy walked in with money. And,
yeah,
if I got drafted tomorrow, first of all, it'd be a terrible choice by whatever team picked.
You could play long snapper.
If I got drafted, I'd want to sign my contract as soon as possible, because I would like my signing bonus now, and I would like all my guaranteed money that you're going to give me now, because I would like money. Caleb Williams doesn't need money. Didn't need it. Didn't need walking around money. This
comes from a wealthy family to begin with.
But also got paid millions of dollars in college.
Mm-hmm.
Shoot, there's a Dr. Pepper commercial with him in it. Like, come on. Even Roma Dunze got paid enough in name, image, and likeness to not be desperate for walking around money during his first summer as a pro. I mean, it's just a different world now than it was before. Let's get to just kind of the tidbits from today. Karan Amagaji, did I get that right? I got it right, didn't I?
Karan Amagaji.
The Bears' third-round pick out of Yale. Hurt a calf. What was it? I'm blanking. It's a calf muscle.
Yeah, he's been out all along.
He had calf.
They had that. They knew when they drafted him that he was going to miss a lot of time in the offseason.
He had surgery on the calf muscle after 4 games in college. He's still not ready to go. They're putting him on the NFI list, which is the non-football injury list. The reason it's a non-football injury is because he hurt it playing in college. Okay. Non-football just means didn't happen while
non-pro football.
Yes.
Now it is. Important to note that they had said with certainty pretty much that he was going to be ready by now.
Yeah.
You do need to go back and fact check that.
Yes, and that's, you know, That's in the story I posted an hour ago.
I'm not saying you. I'm just saying everybody.
Right. But they've got...
remember Tariq Cohen was like a day away, a week away, and then...
Oh, we could do a whole podcast about how the Bears bungled that storyline. But
you have to keep track of what they say and what actually happens with these injuries.
Right. So this means that that he is out until he is ready to practice. If he is still on the NFI after cuts, he has to miss at least the first four games of the regular season. You know, this is a guy I'm not sure that I was counting on an Ivy League player to be anything more than depth this year, but it seems like it's really an uphill climb if he's going to help them at all. And that's okay. There's room for a project here where if you think he can be a left tackle in 2 years, he's absolutely worth the pick. But
yeah.
But I don't think he, it'd be kind of foolish to expect him to help now.
I guess the Bears have the luxury of doing something like that on their offensive line right now. Their offensive line is fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not great, not terrible. It's fine. It's key time for him to have been missing, though.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
This isn't that important of time to say DJ Moore or somebody. Right. But with rookies, if you're missing mini camps and OTAs and now the start of training camp, the reason that time matters,
right,
even let's just say he only misses the first week of training camp, it still matters because guys are securing their stature, their standing on the depth chart right now. And a week, when you're a rookie, a week might be too much of a deficit to come back from than
he also by hasn't, the start of the he season. He also hasn't participated in a football practice at any level in 10 months, probably. So, yeah, that's we've got that. Anything else grab you as notes? Let's talk about Caleb's playing time real quick in the preseason.
Well, one more thing on the roster would be the Ngakoue situation.
Oh, yeah. The Bears are monitoring Yannick Ngakoue, who got hurt last year with them after he posted by far his worst season as a pro. They did like what they saw once they traded for Montez Sweat, though. You know, he wasn't getting double-teamed as much, and he was a little more productive. The Bears know that he is an option if they want to go get a defensive end, but it didn't sound, reading between the lines to me, like they thought he was quite ready to go yet.
Yeah. He'll be cheap. He'll be a cheap one-year deal. Last year he was 1 year, I think, $10.5 million.
Yep.
Probably be less than that now. I do think he's better than anybody they've got besides Montez Sweat. Just as a pass rusher.
Yes, absolutely. I think that if you were smart enough to carve out a very specific role for him, I think he could be really successful.
I think he'd be worth $5 to $7 million for 1 year.
I think you could play him 25 snaps a game, which isn't a lot, and that would be worthwhile. Ryan Poles brought it up with us without us even having to in his opening statement, said that, you know, they are going to, you know, keep their ears to the ground and their eyes on the street or whatever it was.
He brought that up unsolicited, and then he very lightly took issue with your phrasing of a question of there being a defensive end issue.
Yeah. Yeah, and I even prefaced it with saying, you brought it up before we could,
right,
but I'm going to ask you about it.
It is an issue.
Yeah, and you know, and he's sitting there talking about, well, you know, we'll see defensive line coach Travis Smith, we'll see what he can do with the guys we've got, and we believe in them. And that's true, but the Bears are in this position where they've built a roster that can win now. It's time to, you know, it's time to paint the corners here with the few things that they have left to do, and defensive end is probably the one. You know, you could argue that they could use some offensive line depth help. And what else? Where else?
Well, D-end is still the second most important position on a roster. And while you have Montez Sweat, you need two.
Yep.
If you had to set odds, what position will the Bears draft in the first round next year? Defensive end would have to be the leading odds for that.
Right, absolutely.
A year out.
Yeah, and just because, like you said, because of the value of it, too. Like, you know, they might need a center, but they're not going to draft a center.
Right.
That's another position I'm worried about, but that's a different podcast. Anything? I mean, we talked to Cole Kmet, DJ Moore, Rome Odunze,
Tremaine Edmonds, TJ Edwards. Yeah.
Matt Eberflus. Oh, Matt Eberflus has a welcome back party on Monday night at his house for coaches and staff members.
Hired a lifeguard for it.
Do you know why? At one point, Jason, 18 children in the pool.
Yeah.
Have you been to a party with that number of kids in a pool before?
No. Well, in high school, maybe. Maybe when
you.
I was one of the kids.
Look at you. I like that.
I would never sign off on that as a responsible adult right now.
Although, he went out of his way to say, I got a lifeguard, it's cool.
He's probably got a bigger house than me.
Probably got a bigger pool.
That pool I've got is one of those plastic ones that you can buy at Ace Hardware that you can... It's got about a foot deep.
Can you get 18 people in there?
You might be able to get 18 feet in there.
That includes two dogs, right?
Right.
Anything else grab you before we go?
Yeah, let's just talk briefly about Matt Eberflus before we go. You brought this up earlier. I brought it up as he was one of their big question marks in the offseason. Mm-hmm. I think if you look at the decisions, all the decisions they made mm-hmm. in the offseason, most of them are pretty much what you or I or anyone else would have done
yep.
in that position.
That's a compliment.
With those opportunities.
Yeah, that's a compliment, too.
Except him.
Yeah.
Except keeping Matt Eberflus is one that would be very much up for debate. Mm-hmm. And to me, I was not sold enough to have where I would have made the same decision as Ryan Poles. Mm-hmm. Matt Eberflus gets now a huge opportunity mm-hmm. to prove me wrong and prove a lot of people wrong and prove that he does belong here. Mm-hmm. But when you look at the landscape of the important people in the organization right now, Kevin Warren, Ryan Poles, Ian Cunningham, Eberflus, Waldron, Washington,
right.
Caleb Williams.
Richard Hightower, come on.
Mm-hmm. Especially with the new special teams rules, right? Very
sure,
important.
Sure.
You look at the key power players at the core of the organization, Matt Eberflus is the one you got the most questions about right now.
Yeah.
He went 3-14 his first year, and granted that was a burn year, but more problematic for me is he went 7-10 last year with a team that was probably better than that. And that they threw away these embarrassing games mm-hmm. and that he couldn't coordinate is, I guess, not the ideal word to use here, but couldn't coordinate things between Luke Getsy and Justin Fields to get that offense working, had problems on his staff. There was a lot stacked against him keeping his job,
mm-hmm.
and he did keep his job. But what is still in place are all those concerns
mm-hmm.
that he has to disprove. Now, he's clearly made some strides in the offseason.
Mm-hmm.
He is much different as far as how he presents mm-hmm. publicly right now.
Grew a beard.
Communicates a lot better, you'd agree.
Yeah, absolutely.
These press conferences have been much better. Now, nothing has gone wrong yet. There hasn't been these fiascos like Chase Claypool or, you know, David Walker or anything
right.
to come out and talk about. That'll be or these catastrophic losses
right.
at the ends of games. Like, those will be harder for him to show that
right.
he can navigate publicly. But Matt Eberflus is the guy, I would say right now, of those key people in the organization that has the most to prove. He has so much to prove.
As a head coach last year, he was a really good defensive coordinator.
He was great. It was the first time, Pat, that we saw something that you could point to and say, without question, he's good at that.
Yeah, and you know, and the fact that he is going to continue to call plays, I think speaks to that. The Bears kept him because the Bears thought that they were tired of the merry-go-round of, you know, 2 years fired, 3 years fired, 4 years fired. This would be 2 years fired again. And I guess you could talk me into it. You know, again, I don't think it's the decision I would have made, but you can talk me into the value of it. But this is where he's out of excuses. You know, like you said, the first year, boy, their roster was just the worst roster in the NFL. And that wasn't his fault. You know, the second year, had 10 plays gone differently, they could have won 4 more games probably. But do you know what that is? That's life in the NFL. I mean, the NFL, the people love the NFL because it always comes down to 3 plays in the fourth quarter, and the Bears consistently were on the wrong side of that.
He was a big factor in those unravelings, too.
Yep. And this year, it'll be really interesting to see what happens when he is given better players, and he has been given better players. And it will be interesting to see what happens if the quarterback struggles. I would argue to you that the production from the quarterback position is almost as important for Matt and his future as wins and losses. Because if the Bears go 7-10 again, but Caleb Williams looks like he's the next great thing, you can't sit there and say, well, your defensive-minded head coach is hampering your quarterback. You can't. You know, and that's, and, you know, if it really goes sideways, it's going to be a really attractive job because you'd have to come in and hire an offensive-minded coach to coach Caleb Williams. But we'll see. We'll see this year. I think he is, if you go back to October, let's go to Halloween of last year,
okay.
Which is the day when they traded for when they traded for Montez Sweat.
I think is that the day or the day before they have to fire David Walker?
Okay, let's go to November 2nd of last
okay.
year. I think most things, most decisions he's made have turned out well for him since then.
Okay.
I think he's on a, I think, you know, the defense got better, the team won games, the franchise kept him, he hired a respected offensive coordinator. Not only did he do that, but Thomas Brown came in, who is somebody who was interviewing for head coaching jobs. He's going to be their pass game coordinator. Kerry Joseph. Those guys are, I mean, that's a pretty good offensive staff that they've, they keep Chris Morgan, which I think you and I would have done as well.
Yeah, it's good planning too that you have Thomas Brown. If things go really well and Shane Waldron's gone in a year for a head coaching job,
sure.
Thomas Brown's right there.
Yeah, so, I mean, and all these good things need to happen to just kind of get him back to like, oh, we'll see what happens this year. Which, yeah. Which kind of shows you the low point that the Bears were at. I'll tell you this, I think even when things were awful last year, you got the impression that the locker room was a pretty good locker room. And if you kill a coach when he's got a bad locker room, you have to build him up when he's got a good one.
It does seem like players liked him.
Yep.
And players would play for him, and there wasn't any bailing on it. Mm-hmm. Oh, this guy is just a clown. He doesn't know what he's doing. Anything right. like that. You didn't see any of that. You didn't hear any of that. Mm-hmm. There's a lot more to the job than that.
Right.
I do think that, you know, when we talk about the improvements Matt Eberflus has made as a public-facing mm-hmm. person, as the most public-facing person in the organization probably, and as a communicator, that's what he could do right now. Mm-hmm. There aren't games for him to win right now.
You can say that about Caleb, too. Caleb's offseason was great from a PR standpoint.
And from the work that Caleb Williams right. did, being able to get a jump start on things with the Bears because it was so obvious that he was going there. Those guys, both of them, Matt Eberflus and Caleb Williams, have done the right things in this offseason to keep heading the right way. It's still on them to continue to climb from there.
Do you think Hard Knocks will make Bears fans fall in love with Matt Eberflus?
I thought you were going to say, is it going to make them fall in love with Mark Potash? And yes.
Yeah. No, but Eberflus, like, I think it will be cut and away. Remember, the Bears have final edit here. The NFL is not in the business of making any head coach look like a doofus. My guess is that when they get a glimpse of Eberflus a little more relaxed than they're used to seeing him, when they get a glimpse of Eberflus doing his coach stuff with his different sayings and his different nicknames and all that sort of stuff, I think he's going to end up the better for it.
And you've overhauled your PR staff with people that are more capable of crafting that image.
Yeah.
And making those cuts that you're talking about saying, well, we want this in Hard Knocks.
Right.
And this shouldn't be in.
Right. Right. They're walking around today. Do you see them with the T-shirts?
Oh, yeah. They're all over the place. Yeah. Yeah.
Be a fun 7 weeks.
It would be weird, I think, if you're Caleb Williams, to even knowing that there's going to be final cut, to be trying to figure all this out, to be trying to acclimate to the NFL as a rookie, and know that everything you say and do is going to be recorded and mic'd up, even if it doesn't end up getting used. Just to know that you're constantly on camera and mic'd.
Justin Fields had a photographer / videographer on payroll who was one of his best friends, who posted stuff to social media all the time. I think that's just the world we all live in now, where if you are a celebrity like Caleb Williams, like Justin Fields, this is just what happens, and I don't think it's unusual. I don't even think it's distasteful if you're them. I think that's just part of the game now. Jason, we went long, but we will be back again real soon. Until then, you can follow Jason, Mark, and myself on social media. Check out the Sun-Times website. The app on your phone is great, and also print, and we are getting the paper out despite some weather issues earlier in the week. Until next time, he's Jason, I'm Pat. Thanks so much for listening. We'll be back again soon.